Would you rescue me? Would you rescue me when I'm by myself? When I need your love, if I need your help, would you rescue me? Would you rescue me?
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver, Jill Robbins, and Greg Stockel. We close our program with the American story, A Piece of Red Calico, by Frank Stockton. But first, the town of Rehoboth Beach in the American state of Delaware is known for big waves, sweet treats like saltwater taffy, and a long wooden boardwalk next to the ocean that dates back to the 1870s. It has long called itself the nation's summer capital. Soon, it can say it is home away from home for the 46th President of the United States. President-elect Joe Biden owns a home just blocks away from the beach in Rehoboth. It takes about 2 hours to get to Rehoboth from Washington, D.C., and a bit under 2 hours from Biden's longtime home near Wilmington, Delaware. Rehoboth only has about 1,500 full-time residents, but its population grows to about 25,000 during the summer months. Before the coronavirus pandemic, events like Independence Day weekend and the yearly Sea Witch Festival in October would draw up to 80,000 visitors. Movie stars Richard Gere and Denzel Washington are known to visit Rehoboth Beach, but Biden would be the first president to vacation regularly in the beach town. The changes in Rehoboth are already happening. Biden spent time in Rehoboth Beach after the Democratic National Convention this summer. He returned last weekend, days after being projected the winner of the 2020 presidential election. The area around Biden's home is restricted, but reporters arrived in Rehoboth Beach last weekend anyway. Television journalists gathered at the boardwalk to get a good filming spot. The Browse About bookstore in Rehoboth set up a special area with books about Biden, as well as books that Joe and Jill Biden have written. The area also included things like Biden calendars, cups, coloring books, jewelry, and footwear. The top seller was a special candle that smells like one of Biden's favorite drinks, orange Gatorade. After he left the vice presidency, Biden would sometimes come to Browse About bookstore to buy coffee and a newspaper after his Sunday religious service. The treatment that they get is the same as everybody. We want everybody to feel welcome, bookstore worker Jesse Jones said of the Bidens. There was definitely a high energy today, Jones added, as word spread that Biden was back in town last weekend. People were saying, let's do our Christmas shopping, and if we happen to see Joe, great. Nick Caggiano is owner of Nicola Pizza in Rehoboth. He first met Biden in 1972, during his first run for the Senate. Caggiano said Secret Service agents arrived to pick up takeout pizzas for the Bidens when they got into town on November 12th. Rita Sontag is a nurse who lives in nearby Bethany Beach. She went to Rehoboth last weekend to do some shopping. She then went for a walk at Cape Henlopen State Park, a nature area near the Bidens' home. She happened to see the couple as they rode bikes, while surrounded by Secret Service agents. I thought at this point he'd be holed up and not going out in public, Sontag said. But then I was like, oh, there he is. As popular as Biden is locally, not everyone is a fan. At a nearby business called T-Shirt World, employee Sydney Dole said that the few Biden shirts the store offered were not especially popular. President Donald Trump, on the other hand, had his own section in the store, with different kinds of clothes, hats, and other things. Some of the Trump-related goods sold out. Dole said she hoped to one day see Biden around town, but her face lit up when asked what would happen if Trump bought a house in Rehoboth Beach, too. She and another employee agreed that the rural areas outside of Delaware's beach towns are full of country-loving people. If you ride out a bit, you see a lot more Trump signs, Dole said. I think having Trump here, it would be more exciting for a lot of people.
Country music star Dolly Parton is being celebrated in song for her $1 million donation to coronavirus vaccine research efforts. Boston, Massachusetts professor Ryan Cordell posted a video on Twitter of himself performing a rewritten version of Parton's famous song, Jolene. Vaccine is the name of the new version. It is a hit. Cordell's post received tens of thousands of views in just a few days since its posting. Parton's song is about a woman worried that she will lose her lover to Jolene, a desirable woman who can have any man she wants. Parton sings, Jolene, 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 I'm begging you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. Vaccine expresses a similar sense of longing, but for a very different object. Cordell sings, Vaccine, 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 vaccine. I'm begging of you, please go in my arm. Vaccine, 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 vaccine. Please just keep me safe from COVID harm. The gently humorous lyrics came from Gretchen McCulloch, a language expert and writer. She posted the words to Vaccine online and invited people to record it. Cordell accepted. I love that song. I love Dolly Parton, he told the Boston Globe on Tuesday. So I went and grabbed my guitar. Parton's gift to Nashville's Vanderbilt University Medical Center helped efforts by researchers to develop Moderna's experimental coronavirus vaccine. The drug company announced successful results for its vaccine this week. Cordell grew up listening to Parton's music and saw her sing at a show last year. He called that performance one of his favorite musical memories. So I was just thrilled to see this news that she had contributed to COVID vaccine research, he said. Cordell hopes medical workers enjoy his video of vaccine. He noted the intense pressure they are under. If they watched the video and it made them happy for a minute, he said, that's all I need. I'm Katie Weaver.
Today, we answer a question from a group of friends. They write, we are Yasmin, Kubra, Ikrit, Rukiye, and Nazla, and we are writing from Turkey. We would like to learn some idioms about friendship. Thank you. From Yasmin in Turkey. Dear Yasmin, thank you for writing to us. There are many idioms or sayings in English that we use when we want to describe relationships between and among friends. Here are a few to practice with your friends.
The idiom, through thick and thin, is used to define a friend who is loyal and supportive during bad times as well as good times. It most often describes a friendship that has been strong for a long time. Here are two examples.
John and Lisa have been friends through thick and thin. My best friend and I stayed together through thick and thin.
If two people are like two peas in a pod, it means that they get along very well. They are two very good friends, and they are very similar to each other.
I have never seen Lola and Camille argue. They're like two peas in a pod.
The saying, thick as thieves, means the same thing. Thieves have to be loyal to each other to avoid arrest. They share secret wrongdoing and the important goal of keeping it secret.
Some friends are especially sympathetic and easy to talk to. They are not judgmental or impatient. They are good at sharing our pain, which helps ease our pain. A friend like this is often called a shoulder to cry on. We can go to this person with a problem or sadness, and they provide comfort.
Alyssa is such a great shoulder to cry on.
To hit it off with someone means to immediately like or get along with someone. This usually happens the first time two people are meeting. They often share interests, goals, and beliefs. This can happen between friends or love interests.
Carmen and Isabel hit it off at the party and are going to a movie together today. Mike and I did not hit it off on our first date, but we are going to try once more. Thanks for the question from the friend group in Turkey. Hope it helps you all through thick and thin. And that's Ask a Teacher. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Greg Stockel.
Now, the VOA program, American Stories. Our story today is called A Piece of Red Calico. It was written by Frank Stockton. Stockton was a popular writer in the second half of the 19th century. He wrote a large number of stories for children and other stories for adults. His most famous work, The Lady or the Tiger, can also be heard in VOA Special English. Now, here is Steve Ember with Frank Stockton's A Piece of Red Calico.
I was going to town one morning when my wife gave me a little piece of red calico cloth. She asked me if I would have time during the day to buy her 2.5 meters of calico cloth like that. I told her that it would be no trouble at all. Putting the piece of brightly colored cloth in my pocket, I took the train to the city. During the day, I stopped in at a large store. I saw a man walking the floor and asked him where I could see some red calico. "This way, sir," and he led me up the store. "Miss Stone," said he to a young woman, "show this gentleman some red calico." "What kind of red do you want?" asked Miss Stone. I showed her the little piece of calico cloth that my wife had given me. She looked at it and gave it back to me. Then she took down a great roll of cloth and spread it out on the counter. "Why, that isn't the right kind of red," said I. "No, not exactly," said she, "but it looks nicer than your sample." "That may be," said I, "but you see, I want it to look like this piece. There is something already made of this kind of calico, which needs to be enlarged or fixed or something. I want some calico of the same shade." The girl made no answer, but took down another roll of cloth. "That's the right color," said she. "Yes," I answered, "but it is striped." "Stripes are worn more than anything else in calicos," said she. "Yes, but this isn't to be worn," I said. "It's for a piece of furniture, I think. At any rate, I want perfectly plain material to go with something already in use." "Well, I don't think you can find it perfectly plain unless you get turkey red," she said. "What is turkey red?" I asked. "Turkey red is perfectly plain in calicos," she answered. "Well, let me see some." "We haven't any turkey red calico left," she said, "but we have some very nice plain calicos in other colors." "I don't want any other color. I want cloth to go with this." "It's hard to find low-cost calico like that," she said, and so I left her. I next went into a store a few doors up the street. I gave a salesman my sample and asked, "Have you any calico like this?" "Yes, sir," said he. "Third counter to the right." I went to the third counter to the right. A man there looked at my sample on both sides. Then he said, "We haven't any of this." "I was told you had," said I. "We had it, but we're out of it now. You'll get that from an upholsterer, someone who recovers furniture." I went across the street to the upholsterer's store. "Have you anything like this?" I asked. "No," said the man. "We haven't. Is it for furniture?" "Yes," I answered. "Then turkey red is what you want." "Is turkey red just like this?" I asked. "No," said he, "but it's much better." "That makes no difference to me," I said. I want something just like this. But they don't use that for furniture, he said. I should think people could use anything they wanted for furniture, I said, somewhat sharply. They can, but they don't, he said calmly. They don't use red like that. They use turkey red. I said no more, but left. The next place I visited was a very large store. Of the first salesman I saw, I asked if they sold red calico like my sample. You'll find that on the second floor, said he. I went up the steps. There, I asked the man, where will I find red calico? In the far room to the left, over there. And he pointed to a distant corner. I walked through the crowds of purchasers and salespeople, and around the counters and tables filled with goods, to the far room to the left. When I got there, I asked for red calico. The second counter down this side, said the man. I went there and produced my sample. Calicos are downstairs, said the man. They told me they were up here, I said. Not these plain goods. You'll find them downstairs at the back of the store over on that side. I went downstairs to the back of the store. Where will I find red calico like this? I asked.
Next counter but one, said the man, walking with me in the direction he pointed out. Dunn, show this man red calicos.
Mr. Dunn took my sample and looked at it.
We haven't this shade in that quality of goods, he said.
Well, do you have it in any quality of goods? I asked.
Yes, we've got it finer.
And he took down a piece of calico and unrolled a meter or two of it on the counter. That's not this shade, I said.
No, said he. It is finer, and the color is better.
I want it to match this, I said.
I thought you didn't care about the match, said the salesman. You said you didn't care for the quality of the goods. You know, you can't match goods unless you take into consideration quality and color both. If you want that quality of goods in red, you ought to get turkey red.
I did not think it necessary to answer this comment, but said, "Then you've got nothing like this."
No, sir, but perhaps they may have it in the upholstery department on the sixth floor.
So I got in the elevator and went to the sixth floor. Have you any red material like this? I said to a young man.
Red material? Upholstery department, other end of this floor.
I went to the other end of the floor. I want some red calico, I said to a man.
Furniture goods? He asked.
Yes, said I.
Fourth counter to the left.
I went to the fourth counter to the left and showed my sample to a salesman. He looked at it and said,
You'll get this down on the first floor, calico department.
I went down in the elevator and out on the street. I was completely sick of red calico, but I decided to make one more effort. My wife had bought her red calico not long before, and there must be some to be had somewhere. I should have asked her where she got it, but I thought a simple little thing like that could be bought anywhere. I went into another large store. As I entered the door, a sudden nervousness took hold of me. I just could not take out that piece of red calico again. If I had had any other kind of cloth, I think I would have asked them if they could match that. But I stepped up to a young woman and presented my sample,
with the usual question. "Back room, counter on the left," she said. I went there. "Have you any red calico like this?" I asked the saleswoman. "No, sir," she said, "but we have it in turkey red." "Turkey red again!" I surrendered. "All right," I said. "Give me turkey red." "How much, sir?" she asked. "I don't know. Say 15 meters. She looked at me strangely, but measured off 15 meters of turkey red calico. Then she touched the counter and called out, "Cash." A young girl with yellow hair appeared. The woman wrote the number of meters, the name of the goods, her own number, the price, and the amount of money I gave her on a piece of paper. She probably wrote some other things, like the color of my eyes and the direction and speed of the wind. She then copied all this into a little book. Then she gave the piece of paper, the money, and the turkey red cloth to the yellow-haired girl. This girl copied the information into a little book she carried. Then she went away with the calico, the paper, and the money. After a very long time, the girl came back, bringing the money I was owed and the package of turkey red calico. I returned to my office, but had time for very little work the rest of the day. When I reached home, I gave the package of calico to my wife. She opened it and declared, "Why, this doesn't match the piece I gave you." "Match it," I cried. "Oh, no, it doesn't match it. You didn't want that matched. You were mistaken. What you wanted was turkey red, third counter to the left." I mean, turkey red is what they use. My wife looked at me in surprise, and then I told her my troubles. "Well," said she, "this turkey red is much nicer looking than what I had. You've got so much of it that I don't have to use the other at all. I wish I had thought of turkey red before." "I wish, from the bottom of my heart, you had," said I.
A Piece of Red Calico was written by Frank Stockton. It was adapted by Shelley Gollist and produced by LaJuan Davis. Your storyteller was Steve Ember. I'm Bob Doty.
That's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.